Welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Jasper Otto. And with me, that was Austin Tart Coffin, I believe. That was James Bader Coffin. Austin's there on the mic as well. NFL Week 9. Let's hit it. Some news. Austin just very randomly out of the blue just got irrationally angry with the Vikings. That's it fine for me. I had Cowboys minus one. Terrible number as my best bet. We hit that. Last week, Austin had Eagles minus 3.5. Best bet.
Without a doubt.
Hit that. James, who'd you have for your best bet?
Niners minus 3.5.
Hit that too. 3-0 on our best bets last week. Feeling good. As fair warning, my best bet is Colts minus 10.5 on Thursday night.
Give yourself the benefit. It's 10 now. It's 10.
I tweeted a 10.5. It's 10.5.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
They're winning by 23 anyways. Austin, recap the weekend for us. Then we can kind of go into a little bit more of the news of the week. What was like the biggest takeaway for you?
Well, the 10 a.m.s were tremendous for me because I, as your local Jets fan of the podcast, I was very happy to see Mike White put on a performance of the ages. Did you see that they retired? They put his jersey in the Hall of Fame. And put the game ball away for having the most career passing yards in your first start. Very impressed by the Jets. The Bengals, we kind of are what they thought they were. I mean, we just can't buy into them too quickly. The offense is tremendous, but their defense still isn't quite there. And then that afternoon game, I hated to see that Jameis injury, but still one hell of a win for that Saints team. That defense looks incredible, and they're still a damn good threat in the NFC as long as Sean Payton's coaching.
What about you, James?
I had a pretty similar Sunday to Austin, honestly. My Sunday morning games actually helped me a lot. I was in the hole a little bit this week after Saturday. But it was a really good Sunday overall. And honestly, the primetime games were pretty good too, I thought, which was nice after a couple of bad weeks.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're competitive.
Yeah, I mean, they went down to the wire.
Yeah, that's true. And then just kind of moving on to the week, Aaron Rodgers out with COVID, Derrick Henry, which I think he's not officially done for the year, right? They're saying he could potentially come back.
I believe so.
Okay. Von Miller trade to the Rams. That was kind of a big deal.
OBJ.
Yes. OBJ.
Not on a team.
I'm stunned. They didn't trade him, but that seemed kind of dumb, but,
Henry Ruggs is on the same team as OBJ, also not playing right now.
Yes, that's just really sad. Yeah, it's really depressing. Derek Carr was saying some good stuff there.
I agree.
Yeah, I have full confidence in the Raiders with Derek Carr at the helm, especially with all that's gone on this year. Just like having him as the leader and speaking out in public, like I remember I said a couple weeks ago that, like, why is Derek Carr being the first one talking? I think it's pretty clear why he's been the first one talking. He's just quite simply the leader of the organization at the moment, and especially when owner and coach aren't necessarily being the most public figures. I think they're in a good spot right now. Anything else? I feel like there weren't that many like big trades.
Agreed.
Also, like Von Miller washed at this point.
I mean, that's still a big pickup, though. I mean, it means the Rams are selling out for this year.
They have two picks in next year's draft, right?
Yeah.
A fifth and a seventh.
That blows my mind. Is Von Miller even going to play? Wasn't he like out? Didn't he like have to leave a game last week or the week before?
I heard he practiced. I think he will.
Okay. All right. That was that. Disorganized, quick roundup of news. So, it's best bet time. I have the Colts by 10.5, but we got to kick it to James, our leader at 6-1-1. That's correct, right?
Yeah.
James, where are we going for your best bet?
We are going to Pittsburgh, where I am actually on the Bears this week. I faded them. Yep. I think I faded them three times this year and 2-1 in those games or 3-0. But now I'm on them. So the Steelers are a 6.5 point favorite here. And this is exactly where you'd want to fade the Steelers. As a favorite this year, they're 0-3 ATS with two outright losses. Their only win was, 5-point favorites against the Seahawks with Geno Smith and at the helm. And then the other side, I've been really critical of the Bears all year. I still think they're not a good football team by any means, but I think 6.5 is just too many points here. It's a low total game at 40, so they're projecting just not a lot of points in this one. And laying a possession, I think, is just the wrong thing to do here. The Bears actually were really bad last week on defense without Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, but the Steelers don't have the best ground game. Their primary means of moving the ball has been through the air this year, and I think the Bears can kind of limit that and shut that down a little bit. And then I think Fields can do enough and just do enough with his feet. We saw some incredible plays last week to kind of keep him within this number. This isn't really a play on the Bears, if I had to put it that way. It's just 6.5 is so many points. And with an inept offense like the Steelers, who also, I don't know what they're doing for a kicker this week. Boswell literally got killed last week on the field. There's just dead. So many. He might as well be dead. They didn't have a kicker for 3/4 that game. I just think 6.5 is way too many points here. I think the Bears are actually pretty live. I think the Steelers are just a little overvalued after a 3-game win streak and that win at the Browns. So I'm taking 6.5.
What about you, Austin?
I didn't have a lot on this game. For starters, I'm really impressed with the Steelers team. The fact that they're 4-3, and I just think that they're so overrated. I hear all of James's points. I completely agree with him. 6.5 is far too many points for a team that can barely get over 24 points. My pushback is like, this Steelers D-line should be able to feast on the Bears. I mean, we have seen this Bears team struggle against really strong defensive lines. And when they do, Fields becomes a problem back there. He leads to a lot of sacks, more turnovers. And that's where this spread could come into play. And I think Steelers could cover this game. So it's a pass for me, but I do agree with James. It's just the defensive line from the Pittsburgh just scares me a little bit too much.
I kind of share those sentiments. I don't think that the Steelers necessarily need to score a lot to like cover. Like I could easily see something like 23-7, like 17-7, something like that, where they just force Justin Fields into like really difficult situations. And then he has to make aggressive plays that can result in short fields for the Steelers. Also, I mean, like the Steelers offense has not been good by any means, but I'm not going to go as far to say it's been like absolutely horrendous, especially like they put up a pretty adequate offensive performance against Cleveland last week, which was like, they have a really good defense. So, and I think that the Bears are, what's up?
They scored 15 points. That's a good offensive performance.
Oh my gosh. I was probably thinking of another game then. Yeah, that's not a good performance. You're right. Geez, how did Cleveland lose that game?
Pittsburgh's defense, as you highlighted.
Yeah. That's true. But I think that Chicago's defense has been, I mean, overall kind of like disappointing, especially with Mack and Hicks hurt. And I think that, less pressure on Big Ben just makes that his job a whole lot easier. And if those guys aren't playing, then it'll be awfully hard for the Bears to get off the field too, just because like it's just going to be harder to defend those short to intermediate passes that they rely on so much. So no real big take here. Although I would agree, 6.5 just kind of feel like a lot. So moving on to
just to look at their schedule, they play Lions next week. If the Steelers get this Bears win, they're 6-3. I mean, I can't believe this team. I mean, I think we this offense is so bad. And the fact that they could be 6-3 and then they'll have a Sunday night game against the Chargers, that could be a great fade spot. But all credit goes to Tomlin. He knows how to get wins.
I fully agree. I don't think, like, Tomlin is what he is as a coach, but he certainly seems to win. So hard to fault him for that. The Bills at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Austin, this is your best bet. Where are we going?
I was expecting to be called on third because I do have the third best bet. Oh, because I guess you're already going.
I'm Colts.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. I mean, honestly, I don't have too much of a handicap here. The main handicap is I don't like this Jags team at all. And I normally try to talk myself into big dogs when I have this big of a spread, but I just can't in this game. This Jags defense is really struggling. They're going to have no resistance at all against this Bills offense. I just think Buffalo is going to be able to do whatever they want. Something I really like about this Buffalo team, and they've always done in the past couple of years, is no matter they get out to a lead, they continue to put their foot on the pedal and keep building up the score. I mean, last week we see they were 14.5-point favorites at home, and now we're seeing pretty much the same price against a much worse team. They are on the road, but home field advantage isn't worth that much. But the Jags and the Dolphins are nowhere near the same team. I mean, the fact that the Dolphins are favored by 7 points against the Texans this week shows you a lot between the difference in those teams. So I think there's a lot of value at this number. And we did see Bill struggle a little bit in that game against Miami last week. There was a chance where I thought Miami might even win it. But sure enough, the Bills get it together and they figured out in the second half. And even though they didn't play a good game, they still end up covering. I just think this Jags team is not good. I think they possibly are quitting. I mean, the fact they are playing so poorly on defense, their offense is even worse. I think Bills are just going to stomp them. And I might even take the first half as well.
Yeah, I agree. And when you're going up against Josh Allen, who, I mean, currently the favorite to win the MVP, and you do have what is not just the worst passing defense in the NFL, but by far the worst passing defense in the NFL, that's a certainly a terrible matchup for you. My angle in this is I think that I'm going to try my hardest to find a Mitch Trubisky anytime touchdown. I think he might get like 7 to 8 minutes of play. And as we've seen where the Bills defense just does not let up until the end of the game, I think he might be able to get a short field. And if he can like run one in, maybe I can't believe I'm saying this, maybe try and find like a Mitch Trubisky, like passing prop or something like that. But I think that he could be certainly live to get enough game time to where that is actually like kind of like a viable play. And so I think that if, you know, I would imagine it's in more of like the 15 to 20 to 1 range, I would be very happy with that. So it's just kind of my angle. James, what do you think?
Yeah, you get agreement from me. I will not be back in the Jaguars. A thing boding well for you, Austin, is in all 5 of the Bills wins, they've won by 15 or more points, and nice. Winning by 15 or more gets you a win in this one. I think we saw their play really pick up in the second half last week. They kind of came out sloppy after their bye week. But there's no reason the Jags can stay within this number. I think the Bills first half full game are both good looks. If you want to even go Bills team total over, I wouldn't hate that either.
One more thing I wanted to add, Chaz. Sure. You brought up a good, I'm looking at weather, 11 mile per hour winds. That shouldn't be an issue, but we'll see what happens by Sunday. You bring up a good point just about Josh Allen's the MVP leader. These are the perfect type of games where you just continue to build up stats to continue to keep scoring by the end of the game, which just plays more into our hands as he's trying to keep building up his MVP campaign.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I think he's like plus 280 or something right now. There's a guy that I bet actually about an hour ago that I will talk about later, but he's probably going to go 15-2.
They might lose one. 14-3.
Oh, they play the Bucks actually. So like that's a losable game. But like other than that, they play just like a bunch of like bad.
You could, they could drop one.
And yeah, Patriots they could drop don't one look that bad.
New England.
Yeah.
Probably 13-4 is my guess.
Okay. That's fair. But just winning 13 games getting the MVP.
That's probably the one seed in the AFC. If he stays healthy, I think so.
I think if he's at 14 wins, definitely 13, possibly.
That makes sense. And then this is just kind of like a macro question. Do you think they're very clearly best team in the AFC? Do you think they're the best team in football?
No. I think the Bucs and Rams are slightly better.
I don't think their schedule has been tough. In fact, I would argue it's easy and like one of the easiest. I want to give them full credit for just absolutely murdering these bad teams, just like they have been like that. I think there is value in that, but something about it just kind of seems not fake because they are dominating, but like, I feel like I have questions. I can't really put my finger on it. And it has been bothering me. So like, it makes me want to fade them, but like, I just reasonably can't, just because they are an they are just a train, especially when they're playing these bad teams.
No, you have every right to have questions. I mean, because you're right. I mean, they faced two good teams, and that's the Chiefs and the Titans. And we know what we think of the Chiefs right now, and they lost to the Titans. So they really haven't shown us that much. I mean,
at the Titans game, they should have won. I mean, they had 4th and 1/2 inch on the 4-yard line, and Josh Allen fell on a handoff, you know?
Agreed, but they didn't. And in that game, the Titans had zero secondary, and of course they're going to do whatever they want against them. But my thing is, like, if you're going to say best team in the league, it just has to be on the NFC side. I just think there's so many good teams in that NFC, between the Rams, the Packers, and then that Dallas offense is incredible. Even the Bucs are still the Bucs. So the best team has to be in that side of the conference.
Then how about this for a bet? Do you think we could, like, try and find an NFC -1 or something for the Super Bowl? Do you think that's not being offered right now?
No, not yet. I think that usually comes out right when the playoff bracket kind of starts. So, like, week 1 of the wild card.
I remember them offering that in the regular season. I thought we could find something like that.
I think if we look through a couple books, I think we might be able to find that. I'll look after and I'll text you guys. Let's move on to, actually, before we just get into the rest of our games. Actually, really quick to recap, my best bet, Colts tonight. Hopefully it's out before then, but no promises. And if you're listening to this afterwards, it doesn't really matter. But James, your best bet was Bears +6.5. That is Monday night. They are at Pittsburgh. And Austin, your best bet is Bills -14.5 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now we're going to kick to Anchor real quick for a quick ad. We will be back shortly. All right. Thank you to Anchor. Sunday morning, we have, this is a fun one. The Houston Texans at the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins -5.5 after some Houston quarterback news. Totals at 46. Austin, I feel like you might be the most opinionated on this one. What do you think?
No, I'm not. I wrote down one thing. Tyrod Taylor is all I wrote down. But, I mean, this is the type of game where I don't think Miami's very good, and they should be laying 5.5. I did notice that the line has dropped a little bit. It was 6, 6.5 throughout the week.
That was before Tyrod news.
Tyrod news, but also Tua has not played the last 2 days in practice, which is definitely worth monitoring. For me, this game's a total stay away, but I will say, we were talking about a little bit before the podcast. Does the Texans have any sort of life, just being that they put up 22 points in the last 5 minutes against the Rams? And I know it was in a blowout fashion. It was against backups, but does it give them any extra energy? And just to add to that, they're getting their leader back, their leader that got their only win of the season against the Jags and took them to a tie game at halftime against the Browns. I think Tyrod Taylor putting it back in the lineup does give them a lot of energy. I wanted to take the Texans last week against the Rams because Tyrod was back. And now that this week that he is back, I'm more than fine with taking him, just because I don't think Miami's very good and should be laying 5.5, 6 points against anyone.
James, what do you think?
I think you have a good point there. I think Tyrod could actually inspire him a little bit. I don't think putting up 22 against the Rams backups does a whole lot. But the Tyrod news is definitely significant. And I think, honestly, even with just a point upgrade over Davis Mills, I don't think that's enough. I mean, we saw how bad the Texas offense was with Davis Mills. And at least when they had Tyrod under center, they were semi-competent. I mean, they had some good performances against the Jags and like a half against the Browns before he got hurt. But I just think 5.5 is probably too many here. Like in pick'em leagues, if it's still 6.5, I'll probably go with the Texans. But no real play for me here either.
I lean to the over. I've bet the Houston team total over is 19.5. I think Tyrod being starters is like a huge boost. The Dolphins have the 3rd worst passing defense according to DVOA. And especially if, I mean, I don't really care if it's Tua or Jacoby Brissett. I think we're going to get a bunch of like short drives and I do think that there is a possibility for the Texans to get off the field. We kind of saw week 1 in the case against a similarly bad passing defense. They put up a whole bunch of points against the Jags. And one other quick little note, look for Nico Collins receiving props. They shouldn't, with Brandon Cooks garnering most of the attention, his will be a little bit more. But I think with Nico Collins that I think he came back from injury a week or two ago. He's a rookie, so not exactly as established, but there was like a significant change in his production versus Tyrod to Davis Mills. So, and they won't be very high. I'd imagine it'll be in like the 20 to 30 range and like a couple catches here for reception prop. So definitely look for that too. But yeah, that's kind of all I got. Actually, one more thing, just because it's like the middle of the season, and I feel like this is kind of like a pretty good point. Austin, you kind of alluded to like whether the Texans are quitting, whether they're still fighting for something. I think they're very clearly still fighting. I mean, first of all, you have like a fourth quarter point explosion where like if a team had quit, I don't think that they would score 22 straight, even if it was against backups, like you said. But I think that quitting doesn't come from like players. It comes from like organizationally. So like we might see a team like the Jags quit where it's just like Urban Meyer just needs to go. But I don't really get that sense from the Texans where, you know, you kind of see like an organizational kind of like movement to where, you know, they are fighting in the fourth quarters of games and they can't put up garbage stats, because at the end of the day, all these players are going to want to sign contracts next year too. And if they can like put stats together, you know, and like you do kind of get, you know, good O-line play, stuff like that, good tape, then I do think that matters to players. So I think like right now the Jags are the only team I would kind of throw in that bucket.
I agree.
And maybe if like the Vikings get killed this week too, maybe we kind of see a little quit from them too, unless maybe until Mike Zimmer gets fired.
Vikings are quitting now, damn.
It's 3-5.
Yeah, I mean, like, not to say that they're out of it, but they're not going to win the division. And yeah. If they continue to lose, I think that it's just going to be more of like a downward trend until I don't really know if Zimmer will get fired. I think I feel like he should have been fired maybe like a year ago or like in the off season, but I'll know.
Here he goes.
Oh, it's that time of year. It's that time of year. Bring out the firing squad. Come on. Let's move on though. Two, another team I would argue that their coach might get fired soon, in the Denver Broncos, who are traveling to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys lane 10. Total is at 49.5. And you guys have opinions on this game?
Yeah, I actually like the over. That was one of my likes.
All right, let's hear it.
So I like the over here because the Denver defense is just really bad, and I don't like what I've seen, except trading Von Miller away. They have cluster injuries right now at linebacker. And last week, yes, the football team only scored 10 points, but they had one punt all game. They had over 350 yards of offense and one punt. Every time they got between the 30s, it was like a different team came on the field with Davis Mills and just couldn't move the ball. Dallas won't have that problem this week. I think Dak gets in and gets healthy real fast. I think the Cowboys put up 30 plus here. So I like the Cowboys team total over 29.5. You can find that. But full game, I also like the over itself. I think the Cowboys defense could take a step back this week. Huge performance on Sunday night, almost a heroic performance to keep them in that game. I think the Broncos offense actually isn't that bad. They got some weapons back, Judy back. And Melvin Gordon actually looks all right now. So I think that if the Broncos get to 14, I think this over hits. In terms of a side here, I lean to the Cowboys. I just think the Cowboys score will here. That Broncos defense is decimated right now.
James said everything. Awesome. He said everything that I was going to say. I'm with you on the over. From a side perspective, the only thing I wanted to add was, like we were mentioning, the quitting. I think there's a difference between losing team morale and quitting. I think this Broncos team lost a lot of team morale just by trading Von Miller. I mean, he's the star of this team. He's kind of he's the biggest name of that city. I think getting rid of him is kind of a big loss for this team. When you're 4-4, it's not like you're out of the playoff race or anything. It's kind of, I don't know, you might be just losing a little faith in the season when you get rid of your best player. So I'm with you on the over, and I'm going to also take Dallas, just the fact that they're going to be able to get whatever they want in this game.
All right, Austin, I think that was perfectly said. My top note was trading Vaughn sends a bad message. I imagine I'll end up betting it. So I'll make the case for Dallas minus 10. So Cowboys have overall impressed this year defensively. They're sixth in DVOA, seventh in pass DVOA. And the Broncos defense has overall just kind of been a disappointment too, I would say, relative to expectation. They're 21st in passing DVOA, which I think, especially if Dak is back, then I think that that's going to open up so much for the Dallas offense. And let me know what you guys think about this. I think Denver could be a sneaky, like, very bad team, like at 4-4.
I think they're horrible.
Like, I would argue they're close to the bottom five.
Their four wins are against the four worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, their schedule has been ridiculously easy. And I think going up against a good team like this, it could, especially on the road too, it could get a little bit ugly. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah. I mean, I think the Cowboys will be like 17 plus here. I think 29.5 is actually a really good bet for the team total.
Yeah. Would you say alternate spreads or no? Just like the numbers big enough.
I was actually going to say that, but I mean, what do they get? What's the alternate spread? You mean like -17.5?
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, I'd rather just play like team total over, like maybe all team totals.
I wouldn't with Dak's leg. I mean, he's hurt. Yeah. They might be quick to pull the plug.
That's good call.
Up big late.
But I mean, by all indications, it's like from Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones, it sounds like he is going to play Sunday. I think he practiced today, right?
Yeah, I think they announced that he's actually is playing.
Oh, okay.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. I think the line also reflects that too.
Yeah, definitely. Cooper Rush is not going to be a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, that's a great point. The Minnesota Vikings at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens lane 6. Total is 49.5. I'll start. I have a – Vikings were almost alike for me, which is kind of funny based on what I just said. But what's kind of keeping me off it is Danielle Hunter is out. The Vikings, you know, I mean, they're already bottom five in defensive line yards, which losing arguably your best defensive player, that's not going to help that. And so for a Ravens team that normally I feel like their strength is the offensive line, it hasn't really been a strength for them this year. They are, I think they're bottom five in the league in offensive line yards. And so if that's where you're losing your best player, that's or one of your best defensive players, that's against a Ravens team that struggled there, I don't think that's necessarily the worst place to lose it. So the Vikings have also kind of struggled in offensive line yards, and the Ravens have been pretty dominant up front so far this year. And while it may seem like I'm just using one stat to kind of like dictate how I think this game will be played, I really do think it will just kind of be like really slow, like run on both sides of the ball, whether it's the Vikings doing that with Cook and friends, or if it's the Ravens doing that with Lamar and all of their really old running backs. I feel like overall, I kind of talk a bunch of crap on the Vikings defense, but they actually haven't been that bad this year. I believe they're top 10 in overall, maybe even top 5 in overall defensive DVOA. And so I think that, and at the end of the day, Mike Zimmer is a good defensive coach, even if he looked vastly underprepared last Sunday night. If there is Ravens steam and does get to a 7 or 7.5, I think that's just, there's not many better buy low opportunities in a season like that. And so I will be looking at a Vikings bet there. So that's kind of where I'm at. James, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of like this over a little bit. So the Danielle Hunter being out doesn't help the Vikings, but it does help the over. I think the Ravens are gonna be able to move the ball how they want to move it. And then on the other side, when the Vikings are trailing in these games, which I could see happening here, we've seen some higher scoring outputs like that Cardinals game, the Carolina game, even the Cincinnati game, all went over this total when they were trailing. So if the Ravens get a lead early, I think we see kind of a difference in the Vikings offense. We saw them be pretty conservative last week. We could see them air it out a little bit and be more aggressive, which does help an over, whether it be turnovers or big plays. And then in terms of a side, I also borderline like the Vikings. I played their team total over 21.5. I think they can move the ball really well here. I think the Ravens defense got a little expensive after that Chargers performance, but we saw a little bit of a little comeback down to earth game against the Bengals. I don't think they're that bad, but I think the Vikings can move the ball here. And I think I like the full game over.
I'm with you, James. You said a lot of things I like there. I disagree with Chaz. He was saying expecting a run approach. The Vikings, when they're trailing, they go more pass heavy, and that's what they should be doing, and that's what makes them a better team. So I think the Vikings will be able to get theirs, and I kind of want to take them as a side, especially considering the fact that the Ravens have struggled all season when they're a big, when they're a heavy, when they're a favorite of like 6 or 7 points. They've been losing these games. But I can't take the Vikings because I just can't stand this team. So I'm taking the over. I'm with you. I, as I mentioned before, I think the Vikings will be able to get theirs, especially if they're trailing in this game. And I do think the Ravens are going to be able to score the ball. I mean, after a bad loss to the Bengals, I just think Harbaugh, after a bye, is going to be able to rally the troops, and they're going to come out with a better game plan. Harbaugh, after a bye, is a difference maker. He has a very good against the spread record, and I think this offense will be able to get going. And then another thing is Zimmer did talk about in the press conference this week, saying that the team just needs a little bit more urgency. So I'm going to just expect a little bit more of aggressive script, hopefully get the ball to Justin Jefferson a lot more because I need him for my fantasy team. But my like this week will be the over.
So I guess what kind of makes you think that the Vikings will throw the ball more?
Cause they'll be trailing.
Yeah. It's the only way to stay in this game. I think if they run the ball, they're not going to have any success. We saw what that got on last week.
Yeah, I guess. Oh no. Cause I'm not sure that the Ravens are just going to like jump out to a super quick lead. So like, why not? So why bet it pregame then? Why not just wait till the game starts?
Because
that's a good point.
It's a good point. But my thing is, my part of my handicap is that I think Harbaugh is pretty good off a bye. I wouldn't be surprised if they come out with well-scripted plays. They come out with a lead, and then you've already lost your number. And seeing that we're getting a number of 50 under the key number of 51, I like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. Patriots at the Panthers. Panthers +3.5. Total is 41. Anyone got anything here?
I got a like.
Sure. Let's hear it.
I'm on the Patriots, 3.5. I mean, we were just talking about overrated team. The Broncos could be one of the worst teams in the league. Well, I think the Panthers are just right above them as one of the worst teams in the league. They've also played no one this season, and I'm just not impressed with the squad. And then at the same time, we have a Patriots team that's 4-4 playing sneaky good. And I think they're going to sneak into the playoffs. Their defense is starting to really frustrate opponents, and it's frustrated opponents, especially with young quarterbacks. And here we're getting a game where it could be Darnold, who has a concussion, so I don't know if he plays or not. It could be P.J. Walker, and I don't think P.J. Walker is very good. He's had his chances, and regardless who it is, I think Belichick versus inexperienced QB should have a lot of success there. Rule even said this week, we're going to have to get used to teams looking at us as a defensive team. There's just no faith in this offense. I think Patriots are going to be able to get theirs. They should be able to run the ball because the Panthers don't have the best rush defense in the world. So that is kind of where the Patriots offense excels and opens up the offense. So I think the fact we're getting 3.5 here, if it would drop to 3, that'd be even better. But I like the Patriots this week.
Yeah, I actually bet this -2.5 with a little juice. I also bet the under. I think it was at 43 when I bet it, or 42.5. Everything you said, I completely agree with. I mean, we saw what Belichick's done to rookie quarterbacks. He has Sam Darnold's number. If it's P.J. Walker, I'm sure he'll be able to figure something out. And P.J. Walker's just not been effective when he's come in relief for Sam Darnold this season. And then on the other side of the under, I think the Patriots know they don't need to do much. I think we might see more of a don't lose this game approach. And the Panthers defense has been pretty respectable all year. This is what's kept them in games. Like last week, the Panthers defense was excellent. So I think the Patriots probably get in the 20s here, but I just don't have any faith in Carolina's score.
Yeah, I actually think you guys make good cases. I guess I lean to the Panthers. It just kind of feels like, you know, like you're buying the Patriots at a relative high point and selling the Panthers at a relative low point. Not that it matters because it's Bill Belichick, and I feel like you kind of just throw these things out the window with when it comes to him, but it is back-to-back, like, cross-country trips. They went from New England to L.A. back to Carolina. I don't really think that means much. I don't think that this should necessarily be above 3. I would, if I were to make this, I would say that this probably should be closer to 2.5. But I can certainly see why that the Patriots have taken money. Not a whole lot make me want to bet the Panthers at this point, so. That's kind of just where I'm at. We already hit the Bills and the Jag. Or do you guys have anything else?
No.
Okay. Browns at the Bengals. Bengals lane two. Total is at 47. Austin, I'll kick it to you to start. What do you think?
It's kind of going to contrast with you because don't you like the under?
Because I do like. Should I start?
Yeah, why don't you start? I want to hear your case.
I like under 47 here. So far, the Browns, they have not been able not only to win a shootout against a good offense, but I like they just haven't really been able to. They've only gotten into shootouts with like teams that are that also have like bad defenses. And I actually think that the Bengals defense is pretty good. And the Bengals don't actually have a good offense. I forget the number exactly, but they were like 25th, 26th in overall offensive DVOA. So far they've kind of gotten lucky. And what I don't think it's all luck. I think that there is something to being able to put together a bunch of explosive plays. But those aren't necessarily repeatable, especially against a defense that I think is pretty good. And when you need to rely on long developing plays against a very, very good defensive line, I think you might run into some problems there. And then they've also thrived on good field position. And I don't think that the Browns are necessarily a team that gives up good field position just because they are able to put together long drives or I just don't think that like Baker necessarily puts them in like positions where they do have to go for it on fourth down all the time. And so I think that there is a chance, I think, where this game just kind of gets out of hand and it is a really high total. But I think more often than not, I think it stays under the total just because of a long running clock. And the Bengals are also a team that does like to run the ball early on, what's the word I'm looking for? Series, like down, like they like to run on early downs a lot. So I think the clock's going to be moving. And at a total of 47, it's not exactly a total, like, say, you know, it's not like a 43 or 44. So I am getting a couple of key numbers there. I do like the over. What were you going to say, Austin?
You said you like the under.
Yes, under.
Yeah, because I kind of like the over. So I look just at the matchups between these two teams last year. And the rosters were pretty similar, and they had totals of 65 and 71. These two, they played shootouts, and both offenses were able to do pretty well against each other. I hear you, this Browns defense isn't that bad, but they still are pretty hurt. They still have some secondary injuries. We'll see if they play by Sunday. You're right. Bengals DVOA offense being at 22 did surprise me. But they have talent, and they have a lot of receivers out there. And if the secondary is a little bit banged up, I don't see why the Bengals offense can't just do it, just keep scoring. Because you don't always buy into DVOA numbers, but this team knows how to put up points. And even in a loss last week against the Jets, they still put up 30. And then at the same time, like, I'm not really a believer in this Browns offense. I think they're really struggling right now. But the Bengals defense struggled last week against a dink and dunk offense from the Jets. And that's kind of what the Browns like to do. They like to have these long drives and throw to the running backs and tight ends. And like, I think the long drives might be beneficial and they might excel in that area. So I kind of think the Browns, Bengals offense, I think they will too. So I'll take the button. Yeah. I'll take the green button.
Sweet. Can I kind of respond to one thing real quick? I think that these teams are very much different than they were a year ago. I mean, like, the Bengals defense was way more talented. They brought in so much talent on defense, especially in free agency, like guys like, and they, especially they got way better up front. And with the Browns offensive line so banged up as it is, I mean, Conklin's out for a couple weeks. Jedrick Wills has been playing right, but I think he's been playing injured a little bit. I'm not sure that the Browns are just going to be able to do like their normal stuff. And I also think whatever you want about the OBJ stuff. I just don't think an offensive distraction like that is necessarily, you know, make me want to bet an over. That being said, I think that like as an organization, they're doing like the right stuff, just making him sit. Why bring in more unnecessary distraction to practice and things like that if it's just not going to help. So I think that's pretty good, but I don't know. I'm just not super bought in on the Browns at the moment right now. I honestly, I could not tell you who wins this game. Like, I feel like normally I feel like I am generally high on the Browns, but it's maybe this is a buy low spot. James, you like the Browns, right? Didn't you bet them?
No, I actually didn't. I thought I did, but I thought about taking a three and now it's at two. No, I still lean to the Browns. I think, like you said, it's a really good buy low spot. And I don't think anyone in the general public is going to be wanting to bet them after all this OBJ stuff and what's going on behind the scenes. And then I think people still might have a sour taste in their mouth after what the Bengals did on Sunday. But if you look at their overall body work, I think they have a better resume at this point. But I mean, just serious history says the Browns own this matchup. I kind of lean to the over, but I'm not going to take the button on you there. I think the Browns are a pretty good teaser. Like, I think this should play out to be like a one possession game, last possession type of thing.
I agree with that. I should like that. I also like the under, but I agree with that for sure. Anything else, Austin? Or
yeah, one more thing on the resume. I love the teaser leg. I'm writing that down. Yes, the Bengals probably do have a better resume, but when you look at their resume, I mean, they've struggled against the Jags, they struggled against the Bears, and now they lost to the Jets. I mean, they have one good game against the Ravens. I don't think the Bengals are that good. And the fact that I think the Browns are an underdog in this spot, I'll gladly take them.
That's a good take. I don't hate that at all. All right, let's move on to the Falcons, who are traveling to New Orleans to take on the New Orleans Saints. And I believe Taysom Hill is going to play. He was a full participant in practice today.
Yep.
Saints laying 6. Total is at 42.
We did skip a game, but we can get to it. Skip Raiders Giants.
Oh, all right. I'll hit that. I'll hit that after this.
Yeah, go for it.
Austin, I will
take the lead, sir. Yeah, I got. I have the under in the Saints Falcons game under 42 right now. So Saints right now through 8 weeks are second to last in explosive plays, and now they have no Jameis. It should get even more conservative. If we get Hill, we know how much Taysom plays to an under. And then on the other side, Falcons now have no weapons now that Ridley left last week. And they're facing a tremendous defense on the road. I don't see their offense scoring. If they get to 14, I'd be kind of surprised. I think the Saints team, they do need Taysom in this offense. But he's going to play right into our under role. Something else I want to add is that if he's going to be back there in the backfield, lowering his head into the defensive lineman to get first downs, it's kind of the worst role to have when you are 3 weeks removed from a concussion. But we'll see how he handles that. But at the same time, you look at last year's matchups, Taysom Hill played in both of them and neither game went over 37 points. Saints defense just has a lot of success against this Atlanta team. I think the unders are good play.
Yeah, complete agreement for me. I also bet this. And those matchups for Atlanta included Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, who's no longer, both of them actually are no longer part of the team. I just think the Falcons lack offensive weapons, and that's going to be exposed here. Could be a bit of a flat spot potentially for the Saints, but that doesn't really bother me. I just think Atlanta's not potent enough on offense to put up points. And then Taysom Hill's just going to eat the clock on offense.
Yeah, Taysom Hill actually, I agree. I think the under's the only look here. Taysom has never scored more than 24 in start. And granted, when he did score 24 was against the Falcons. He started both games against the Falcons last year, I believe, yep. And put up 21 and 24 points. I will say this has the potential to be the really frustrating bet for all of us. Taysom Hill actually fumbles the ball a bunch, and he has been kind of lucky. I was just kind of looking at the games he started, and I swear there's like a fumble in every single game, at least one. And he's only lost like 3 of them. So he might be due for some individual fumble regression there. One more thing I have is I think that Kyle Pitts receiving totals are going to be a little inflated here just because it is only going to be Ridley there will be no Calvin Ridley. If he's lining up outside, he might be getting Marshon Lattimore. That's not necessarily the best matchup. If he's lined up in the slot, he's probably getting Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who is a pretty big corner. And if he's lining up on the line, he's probably getting DeMario Davis, who might be the best coverage linebacker in football. I would like to see how they what they open up as, but that's not necessarily. I think those matchups bode well for an under. especially if it's like a slow moving game where the Saints are running the ball a lot. There's a bunch of long drives and the Falcons just aren't necessarily getting their hands on the ball all that much. I know you have him on your fantasy team, yeah, Austin. Any yeah, response?
I'm fuming as you say these comments. It is a big week for me, and I do need a Kyle Pitts performance, but those matchups just intimidate me a little bit.
One thing that I've kind of neglected, who wins, a Jaguar or a Bill or a Buffalo or whatever that is?
Honestly, I think a Jag does.
I think a Buffalo does.
Yeah, I think a Buffalo murks the Jaguar.
Yeah.
They're so fast.
They stampede, dude. They come in like herds.
Oh, so there's more than one. Okay, yeah, I guess that's fair. Because like a Jag is also a lone
wolf. But the Jags are at home, so that means the Buffalo has to go to the jungle.
Well, then it's getting murdered.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. All right, let's move on to – sorry, I had to – I thought there went in there. The Los Angeles Chargers.
Hold on, Giants Raiders, we keep skipping.
Oh, gosh, dang it, right. the Las Vegas Raiders, they're going to New York, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Raiders, I believe – sorry, three. I don't have it on my notes right three, now. So they're laying three, right?
Yep.
3, 46.5.
Sweet. Austin, what do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's – I'm trying to stay away just because I think it's such a distraction game just with the Ruggs news coming around. But as we hit on the beginning, Carr is such a good leader. And the fact that they've already done this season against Gruden, I just think there's something to be said for usually when a teammate gets cut, it's next man up, and there's something to just rally around. So I can see them rallying in this game. And at the same time, the Giants have their own issues. They're struggling with COVID. So I think the Raiders at three here are – it's a pretty good number. They've played very solid all season. I'd like to see the Giants injury report just for who they're missing COVID wise. I know Saquon has it, but who else they're missing could be important. And then the only thing else I want to add is it could be a Darren Waller props, not just for my fantasy team, but he should be healthy now. He took the week off before his bye. Then he had a whole bye week to get healthy. I think it was his ankle. And now without Ruggs, there's got to be a little more downfield targets to be spread around. I think this is his chance to finally have another breakout game because he's been a pretty lackluster tight end so far into the season.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I don't really have much to add, actually. James, anything?
Yeah, I lean to the Raiders. I mean, we've seen him overcome adversity like that Carr game, or sorry, the Gruden game, the game after against the Eagles. Everyone was on the Eagles, myself included. Then the Raiders
Broncos.
Came out.
Broncos.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Both either game, take your pick. They came out and murdered them. Three seems short to me. I know the Raiders on like an East Coast start time doesn't sound too appealing, but I'm not high on the Giants, and a three just seems a little light. But I'll probably end up passing it too. Just so many variables in this game: Giants, COVID, Raiders, the whole rug situation, and just emotions. There's just so much involved in this. So
I did just have a flashback to the Raiders' last East Coast trip to New York. Was a game-winning touchdown on the Jets to Henry Ruggs.
Henry Ruggs, that's right.
And the Jets should have won that game.
Cover zero, baby.
Yep.
Insanity. Fuck that Chargers game. At the Eagles. Eagles getting a point. Total is at 50. Austin, I'll kick it to you. What do we think?
I don't know. I think this number seems a bit short for the Chargers. They're better than the Eagles. I mean, two becomes a little more. It was closer to one before. But at the same time, I see an advantage for the Eagles here. Their offense looks okay right now. I was impressed with Hurts last week. But mainly I was impressed with their rushing attack last week. They ran the ball like hell. They used three different backs and it really worked. And I know that was against a Lions team. That's not very impressive, but how you beat this Chargers team is their weak rush defense. So I think the Eagles do have an advantage there. At the same time, I need to see it to believe it from this Eagles team. They haven't exactly beat anyone impressive yet. So I'm just going to wait and see. I think it'll be a good game.
James, what do you think?
The Chargers are actually one of my likes. They were a borderline best bet for me. Now that's at 1.5. I really like the Chargers in this one. I think the Eagles are masquerading as an okay football team with this 3-5 record. But if you look at their wins, they just beat up on the bottom feeders. That win last week was impressive, yes, but I think that was long overdue for the Lions, especially coming off an emotional game when they pulled out all the tricks against the Rams and came up short. Then on the other side, we're getting a really good buy low for the Chargers. I think they actually have a pretty good offense. I wouldn't say elite just yet, but they have great pieces, and I think they can really exploit a weak Eagles defense. And we've seen the Eagles, especially at home, actually get kind of obliterated by good offenses. The Chiefs put up 42 here. The Bucks put up 28 and three quarters and then just stopped. And then they also lost the 49ers at home by six. I don't think the Eagles are that good. And I think 1.5 is definitely short here.
Does it feel like this total is a little low?
Yeah, I lean to the over. I think the Chargers can kind of put up points here. And I think, like Austin said, the Eagles can do some things offensively too.
If I were to bet anything in this game, as it stands now, I would bet Chargers Eagles over. I think. I think you guys made good points. Chargers have struggled to stop the run. Eagles looked like they may have found something in the run game last week, where they were finally just calling run plays, which seemed to work. But the Eagles O line is also pretty good. So
yep,
should be another difficult matchup for the Chargers defensive front. And I think that as long as Jalen Hurts isn't really being relied on to pass the ball, I think that puts the Eagles offense into a better script. So I lean to the over. Packers traveling to Kansas City, sans Aaron Rodgers. Chiefs laying 7.5. The total is at 47.5. So I typed in on my phone, the fastest I ever have in my entire life. And when I saw the Aaron Rodgers news, I was able to get Chiefs at a pick. So I'm very happy about that, understandably. I'm thinking about buying back. I would love to hear you guys either talk me into it or talk me out of it. James, I'll start with you first. What do you think about the current state of this Chiefs-Packers matchup?
So I'm seeing -7, -120. I think it's 7.5 or 8. I would definitely buy back a little bit and kind of middle between 1 and 7 points. But at this very moment, I think my play right here would be to cheese the Chiefs. Cheese the Chiefs. I wasn't impressed by the Chiefs by any means last week, but I don't know a whole lot about Jordan Love. I mean, other than watching him play at SDSU once. And I think maybe no film helps him, but I doubt he's NFL game ready, especially with zero starts and zero snaps. So I think the 7 is warranted here. I think Rodgers to his backup, which Jordan Love here, is probably one of the biggest downgrades in the NFL. And a whole 7-8 point swing is probably where it should be.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the teaser leg. I'm almost thinking of grabbing the Chiefs at -7, -7.5. So I'm still not bought into this Packers secondary. And I tried fading him last week by taking the Cardinals team total over, and it failed me. I think for two reasons, mainly because Packers had an impressive pass rush last week and Hopkins got hurt, which really killed that Cardinals offense. But they just know they haven't faced a team that has been able to take advantage of their secondary that still has no Jaire Alexander, still has other injuries, and still is just not that impressive. And I think the Chiefs offense has the attack that they can put up points here. And honestly, I don't think this line has moved enough. I mean, this is the biggest drop, I think, between quarterbacks in the NFL. And the fact that we saw the Packers as a 6-point underdog last week without Devontae, and now it's 7.5 at the Chiefs. I know they're slightly worse than the Cardinals, but I still don't think it's moved enough. Even if Devontae's here in this game, it's not like he makes that much of a difference to the line with Jordan Love at quarterback. I think Chiefs are going to be able to get theirs. I definitely fear their defense, the fact that they don't have a rush defense, and the Packers probably go to a run-heavy approach. A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones props are probably pretty live. They're going to be able to run the ball. But I think the Chiefs are going to be able to get there. So at a safety again, I might just take Chiefs team total over like I did last week and failed. But I think they're going to be able to get theirs, and I'll take teaser leg, and I might even take the points.
As you were kind of talking, it kind of just dawned on me. I think this total is just wildly low, because if you're the Chiefs defense, the game plan has to be let Jordan Love beat you, right?
Yeah.
So you're loading the box, you're blitzing a lot. So, and like, I think I always have a really hard time betting Packers totals, because it's like the offense is good and it's efficient, but like Aaron Rodgers just, he really uses like every second of the play clock, So it's really slow, long drives. You know, it's like 8 yard outs to Devontae Adams and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking that, especially against what's the Chiefs. I mean, if you were going to have your first NFL start outside of the Jags pass defense, like the Chiefs passing defense has to be your second choice, right?
Yeah, probably.
It's, I mean, yeah. At 47 and a half, I love the Chiefs team total look. Because what would that be?
20 to 27 and a half, 20, like 20 and a half.
Oh, love that. Because the Chiefs are going to put up points. Everything you said about the Packers secondary, I love. Especially if they're in like a really bad negative game script, they're just going to let Jordan Love throw it all over the place. So I 47 and a half, I think this feels too low.
We are getting 14 mile per hour winds as of now.
Okay. Maybe not. I'm glad you said that. Man, that's tough for a start, but I'll know.
One more thing I'll add. Packers probably feel pretty happy right now. I mean, they don't feel happy, but the fact that they get to play Jordan Love without any repercussions.
That's true.
Just being the negative fan support. You don't have to hear Aaron Rodgers in your ear. I mean, this is a really good opportunity for him, and it's probably exactly what the organization wants to see, considering eventually they're planning to move off Rodgers and go to him.
Can we talk really quick about how lucky the Packers have been? You have AJ Green thinking he's going to block, weird refereeing with Washington, and like, I don't know, that was just only in the last 2 weeks.
They weren't going to lose to the football team though.
No, the scoreboard, but yeah, okay. They certainly weren't going to cover.
Missed field goals in the Bengals game where they could have lost.
But that goes both ways a little bit too though.
Beat the Niners with 20 seconds to play. They have had some lucky wins, but
is this number too low? Should the Chiefs be favored by more?
Yeah, I think so. But I can't stand the Chiefs, man.
I agree.
They don't cover spreads. And
Kelce has sucked too, kind of.
This offense is kind of a problem. The media analysts are telling them they need to run the ball more, which maybe they do. I mean, they're running it at a even lower rate than they normally do. And it was working last week. I mean, it worked pretty well in the first half, and they just completely threw it out the window in the second half. I don't know what they want to do.
Analysts are dumb because that's just like the fallacy of like, oh, teams that run the ball more win more games. Like the Chiefs have been losing in every game they've been playing pretty much, or it feels like, and at least like the majority of them. So like they've just naturally had to pass the ball more. I want the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands. It's that simple. And like, I don't know, I disagree with that a lot. But I don't know. It should be an interesting game. And I think if the Chiefs win by a lot, I'm going to say that they're back, even if it is against no Aaron Rodgers. I'm excited. I'm hoping the Chiefs put it on because it'd make the AFC a lot more interesting because I feel like there is a bit of a drop off from Bills to everyone else. So Cardinals, this is the other game that hasn't really been on the board. Cardinals at the 49ers. Niners laying 1.5, maybe 2. I can't really tell. Total is at 44. We all like the Niners, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I kind of want Kyler to play. Is that weird? Then I feel like the number will be bigger. And at the start of the season, I feel like I was saying that we're back in the Cardinals up until Kyler starts to get banged up, and then his just play is going to decline. And then I think that we're kind of approaching that point. And especially with this is like a team where the Niners own the Cardinals, right?
Yeah. The Cardinals have McVay? Had some success. It's McVay.
But Niners have still had their success. I mean, we wanted them in the first game this year, and that was in Trey Lance's first start, and it wasn't million red zone.
That's true.
They should have won that game. And then they did, I think, they dominated in the Week 15 game last year in a must-win game for the Cardinals.
And the Niners had all their players out.
Yep. Like, I don't really care what the number is. I want the Niners.
Yeah, I think anything below 3 is is like an immediate bet for me for the Niners. I feel like I mean we didn't really talk about it a whole lot. Do you guys have anything else to add? Do you have anything on the total? 44 feels about right.
It's pretty low.
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Because I think the Niners are going to be able to get theirs. It also just depends who's playing. I mean, I don't. If it's Colt McCoy, I can't possibly take the over. And if it, I don't know. If it's hurt Kyler, I struggle as well. I just think the Niners are going to be able to get there. So the Cardinals can't really stop the run. Niners are going to succeed there. And they're getting Kittle back. So this offense is just on the way up. And Jimmy G looks pretty good right now. I like what I'm seeing out of him.
So I have a question. They're hanging a Cardinals team total of 23.5 right now. Do you almost play that, kind of liking it anyways, or do you play it and hope there's a chance Colt McCoy plays? For some reason, the book I'm looking at is hanging team totals, not like the full game. So
what book? Is it just Cardinals?
No, it has Niners too. It is 23.5 for the Cardinals, 22.5 for the Niners. Bet fast.
What's the over price on that?
-110 for the Cardinals over. -115 both ways for the Niners.
I feel like I gotta bet that.
I would hold the horses just because, like, the Niners, as we were saying, have success against the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals put up 17 points earlier this year. And in last year's performance, the Cardinals put up 12, and then I guess they put up 24. I don't know. I think Shanahan in this Niners team kind of has the Cardinals number.
Yeah, that'll be something we got to keep an eye on. That's interesting. This is a pretty good look. Sunday night, right? I haven't skipped anymore.
No, you have not. Great job, host.
The Tennessee Titans.
Final game.
Yeah, you're right. At the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are laying 7.5. Total is at 53.5. I have bet this full game over. James, going to start with you. What do you think?
So this is a spot I actually kind of like backing the Titans in this 6-point dog range. I've seen.
You disagree with me.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to play it at all. But the Henry news scares me a lot. I think running the ball is actually kind of a weakness that the Rams have on defense. We've seen a couple teams run it and have some success. And I think if they can run, they can kind of establish that play action game that's been really successful for the Titans. But with no Henry, I struggle to see how they're going to move the ball on the ground. Like, is Adrian Peterson really going to do it? Or are you going to give it to McNichols, who's your receiving back? Neither of those guys really scare me out of the backfield. I guess I still kind of lean that way at 7.5, but I absolutely love a Rams teaser here. Rams to the Chiefs, Rams to the Browns, whatever you want to play here. I think the Rams win this game. I think it's kind of I wouldn't say a statement game, but a really big game since the Sunday night game. So I think the Rams come out with some nice stuff. Like Rams first half, I think I kind of like, but full game, I lean to the Titans. I just think 7.5 is a little too many.
Austin, what about you?
Let's make it a threesome. I'm also on the Titans.
Nice.
I love the
what teaser. What a threesome. Me, you, and James.
I love the teaser play. It's the week of teasers. That's my favorite look here. But, I mean, this Titans team continues to get these big underdog spreads, and they just continue to prove the numbers wrong. And we're expecting a negative game state anyway. The Titans were going to be trailing in this game, so it's not like they were going to be run heavy anyway with Derrick Henry. So I don't think losing him is that big of a loss. This team relies on A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown's healthy. I don't know if Julio Jones is playing or not, but
he is.
It's going to be on Tannehill. Yeah, if they're playing, I think I like this Titans pass offense. This is certainly a step up in competition for the Rams. They've played no one these last 3 weeks, so this will be a little interesting for them. They'll get used to a pretty good offense. Not to mention Stafford and Robert Woods. They both sat in practice. They're both expected to go, but if they come in limping with injuries, who knows? I just think 7.5 here is a pretty good number for a team that just continues to prove teams wrong.
This was the MVP play I was alluding to more. So you get Derrick Henry out, who is by all means seen as the focal point of, and respectfully so, the focal point of the Titans offense. And today I bet a Tannehill 70-1 to win the MVP.
Wow, 70?
70.
I'm gonna find that right now. Where did you get that?
West Coast.
Let's go.
So
right, go on.
First of all, the Titans schedule, like after this game, it's relatively like pretty easy. And there's not a bunch of defenses that really scare me off. So I do think there's the chance that he just completely pads his stats throughout the way. And on top of that, Julio's back. Now, there's no, I'm like, Julio Jones is not never going to be a person I'm like counting on for a full season. So, but like in this game specifically, where you know, you have Jalen Ramsey on one side. So, and like he's going to have Jalen Ramsey is going to make so either Julio or AJ Brown stay difficult. Like, that's just how it goes. And not to say that they're not going to do anything, but he's the best corner, arguably one of the best defensive players in the NFL. So I like, that's just how it goes. And finally, this relates more to the game too. I think Julio playing is more important than Derrick Henry not playing. It just goes with like the overall trend with how the NFL has been moving. And I think if the Titans are passing more, they are just going to be a more high octane offense. And we've seen the past couple of years with Ryan Tannehill, like he's always like a top three PFF graded quarterback, and QBR, he's like top five, top 10. And so he clearly has talent. And I think that, especially in what this could be a track meet sort of game where we see Matt Stafford put up big numbers. And I also think we're going to see Ryan Tannehill put up very big numbers here. I'm kind of getting whiffs of Chiefs Rams from Monday night a couple years ago. And I also think this Titans team is a sneaky good or sneaky AFC contender. Obviously they've won big games, but I feel like they've been in a flat spot for the past, 4 or 5 weeks now. And like they have showed no signs of slowing down, and their defense is not that bad. It's like very middle of the pack, which I think you can win a playoff games with a middle of the pack defense and an elite offense. Final overall point on this game, the Rams have faced the fifth easiest defensive schedule for according to DVOA, which I mean, like take that for what you will, but I do think that their schedule has been a little beneficial to them. That was a long-winded way of me saying I like the Titans plus 7.5. I think they're going to be competitive and could win this game. And I also like team total over. So, and I think 70-1 is outrageous for Ryan Tannehill right now.
That's okay. Everything you just said just put such a smile on my face. I agree with like everything. I mean, I love the Tannehill number. And like you look at this Titans team, I mean, they've beaten the Bills. They've beaten the Chiefs. How are they possibly getting 7.5 in this game? I mean, I just think it's such a big number. And if they get this win, Tannehill is in the controversy, in like top five topic for winning MVP.
Yeah, his number will plummet if they win. Now, yep. I mean, they should be under, like they, I would argue it should be below 7. And I think that's fair.
I agree.
But I the Rams have been a wagon so far this year. And I really want to fade the Rams. And it's like I want them to be bad almost. So maybe I am showing a little internal bias here, but the number just seems way too big. And it does seem like a big overreaction to, granted, he is the most valuable running back. And like, maybe you could throw McCaffrey in there too, but should a running back be moving this number a point and a half a point? It opened at 6, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I especially through a key number. I just don't think so.
Do you think the Titans and the over are correlated at all?
No.
So I think the Rams can score 40.
Yeah, like
why not just the over then? I mean, 50.5 is a pretty big number. Okay, yeah. I kind of like that play.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I'm excited. I think like it's going to be one of the more exciting primetime games of the year, especially if they both teams are just chucking it all over the yard too. So should be a fun Sunday night game. Anything else to add?
I did have a future bet, but I got to remember it.
Was it divisional?
It's actually the Niners.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to bet it.
I haven't bet it, but it's in my mind. I mean, it's either to win Niners to make playoffs or win division. Division's tough just because that Rams team's a unit. But the fact that you have Kyler's hurt and they have a schedule that's going to be – they have some pretty winnable games on there. And I think they're coming together. The fact that Kittle's getting healthy, the fact that I think Jimmy G looks really good right now. If they get a good win here against the Cardinals, they're suddenly 4-4 in a good spot at home against the Rams next week. And then they'll have Jags, they'll have Bengals, or I guess Bengals are decent this year, but they still have Falcons and Vikings and Texans coming up. I mean, there's winnable games there. So I'm interested in doing that one.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's not a terrible look. I wonder if like you could parlay like Titans money line to like the Niners divisional price.
Yeah, I like that.
That would probably let you do that.
that would be pretty fun, but I doubt there's a book that will let you do that. Anything, James? Are we good to finish up?
Go Bears.
Go Bears. College basketball is starting soon. Very excited for that.
I'm excited.
You guys are doing pods?
Gonna try.
Yeah.
If all else, we'll
have to wait a little while.
If all else, we could just throw something on the end of like college football ones. But yeah. Thank you all for listening. And we're gonna be tweeting stuff too. Like that, I feel like that was just a pretty good system last year.
What's our Twitter, Jess?
I'm glad you asked, Austin. It's at the Sharpside Pod on Twitter. Go follow us if you are a new listener. If not, thank you for listening. Please do not forget, if you haven't already, even if you have, do it again. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Hit the subscribe button on Spotify if you're listening there. And of course, Greg, you're my boy. Thank you for listening on podcasts. I downloaded a podcast the other day. I kind of like the interface. Overall, wow. It seems like a pretty good app. Thank you all for listening. Austin, what are we going to do on this NFL Sunday?
Let's go win some money.
Let's do it.